Hello there, this is Evie and you're listening to the podcast Let's Reflect on That. Today we're talking about feeling stuck. We all feel stuck sometimes, and usually it is many times in our lives. And why is it always so hard to get unstuck? Like, if you are getting stuck often, you would expect to get better at being unstuck, right? But this is somehow not how it works. And the answer to that question, well, there is a good, real answer to that question, why it is so hard. And there is a typical, usual answer that we give ourselves. The usual, typical answer is that you don't know what to do and how to change the situation. That's what you tell yourself. And the real answer is that you actually know what you need to do and change, but for one or another reason, you're not doing it. You don't want to do it yet. So here we're going to talk a bit more about the real answer, and I'll give you 6 ideas how to help you get out of your stuck situation. Hopefully this episode will provide you with information, but also with encouragement to take steps, to be brave, and to get yourself somewhere nicer. And yeah, thank you Mogwai for that amazing song. A stuck situation usually means that we continue doing the same and we continue receiving the same outcome, which continues to make us feel miserable or unfulfilled, and we don't seem to be able to get out of it because, well, we are repeating the same. So we are feeling the same, we're getting the same outcome, vicious circle. Sometimes we're stuck because we feel like we don't have the answer to the problem, but we continue to approach the problem the same way. So we don't take a step back and look into how to change our approach. We don't gain a new insight, or we don't even try something different. So of course we don't learn anything new, and we continue to deal with the situation with the knowledge we had at the beginning. So basically the mindset that created that situation is not going to be the mindset that gets you out of it. Simple, but so hard to implement, isn't it? Other times we are stuck because we wish the situation to change without us changing ourselves. This is especially true in relationships where we expect our partner to change in a certain way that would make the situation better, but we are less willing to change ourselves for the same purpose. Let's say you don't like your leisure time together and you expect your partner to accommodate for what you think it's a good leisure time that's gonna make you happy, but you don't think how you could change that so you can also be happier with the situation. It's more of like sitting there observing the problem, telling the partner what the solution is, expecting them to do it, and not looking at ourselves for it, because once again, we're not ready to change. We're not. We usually don't like change. Our brain hates change. So why not ask the other person to do it instead, right? Well, you can go that. Well, I assume you're listening to this because you actually want to do something about it. So shortly put, you have 2 ways to go about a stuck situation. You either change the situation by changing your environment, because new environment always gives you something new to think about or to do. We are in this dynamic relationship with our environment, so who we are reflects what is around us, and what is around us reflects back on us. So changing your environment always brings something new. So this is one thing you can do. Or you change yourself and how you look at the situation so that your feeling about the environment changes. Great. But it is hard to change either of those, right? Sometimes you can just pack and go, but sometimes you prefer to stick around and actually work on the situation and build something out of it. And understanding that a change is needed, see, that's clear. That's the easy part, but it is hard to execute. So let's give you some ideas so that you see what fits your stuck situation and you can go ahead and try some. Idea number 1, most big changes you ever need to make in your life require small, simple changes. So breaking down into smaller steps that are doable, that seem easier, and you're not terrified by them. When saying this, one very popular book comes to my mind. It's called The Atomic Habits. I wrote a short summary on it on my website. If you want to check it out, I'll leave the link in the description. But the main point is that nothing big happens all at once. Big changes are the result of small changes. And the hardest part about big changes is that, well, they're not hard to execute, is that we are usually not good at sticking with the small changes long enough for them to create that big change that we will, that eventually will give us the results we wish for. In that sense, tip number one will be breaking your big change into smaller changes and see which ones you can start doing right away and which you add up later, but eventually aim to implement all the needed small changes in your behavior so that you can finally get unstuck. And give yourself deadlines. If a small change, for example, is to, I don't know, let's say you want to start getting up earlier, right? And a small change would be to like put extra alarms in the morning. When? Ask yourself, when are you going to start doing this, and stick with this? Because if you just have an idea, and usually it's tomorrow, Monday, something a bit far away, you're probably going to postpone, and when the day comes, you're not going to be so motivated to do that. Just put the deadline as soon as possible and stop thinking about your decision. You made it, try it, stick with it for a few days. Tell yourself how long you're going to stick with this small change until you add the second small change. It might sound tedious or a bit boring, but I'm pretty sure that feeling stuck is also kind of boring and heavy on you. So pick your heavy. Idea number two. Look at your thoughts. Look at how you convince yourself not to change anything. Once again, the relationship between thoughts, emotions, and behavior is, well, everything. So we need to look at our thoughts if we are to change a behavior. Okay, let's put this into some context. Let's say you're stuck at a job. And to be fair, we usually know that something is not fun for us. It's just not meant for us from the very beginning. Whether it is a relationship or a job, you usually know within the first 6 to 3 months if that is not for you. But for many reasons, we might avoid admitting this, even to ourselves, for years. So you eventually create that situation that was not meant for you and you get stuck in it. And, well, let's say you recently became more self-aware or you gained more knowledge about how you are and what you want to do with your life, but you're now 5 years into your current career and changing it would mean you are quitting. And quitting is not who you are. You're not some lazy person, or you will not be the one whining about your job after, you know, all those years. And well, after all, nobody likes their job, right? So you're not some softie, you're not a quitter. Also, look at what you might lose if you quit your job. You have created a good networking, you have worked so hard to be where you are now. And in fact, you're getting a promotion in a couple of months. It would be so lame to quit now. It would be a shame to change your career after all this effort and time. See, no matter how unhappy you are, you're never going to make a change if you regularly talk to yourself this way. So you end up being stuck because on one hand, you have your feelings that you're not happy there, but on the other hand, you have your thoughts that are convincing you to stay. And the final outcome is a lose-lose situation that you don't know how to change because you demotivate yourself all the time, but also because the situation makes you feel miserable, so you're not really excited about making any changes, so you end up doing what? Maybe taking another nap, or binge-watching another show, or playing a new video game, and yeah, all of those distractions that keep your mind occupied and away from the thought of how you're stuck. So idea two was identify your thoughts, because once you know what you're talking to yourself, you know exactly what to address and what to change. And from here comes tip number three, identify your distractions. And ask yourself, do I care more to be distracted right now and right here so that I survive this situation now? And sometimes that might be the right thing to do. But as long as you're aware of it, it might still help in the long term, knowing that currently you are still avoiding the change because it's impossible to execute it right away. But let's say it is possible to do something right away. So back to the question, do you care more about being distracted right now, or do you care more to face your situation and change it? Distractions are there to make our current realities more bearable. Nobody who is really happy with their here and now is engaging in escape behaviors. It is what it is. If you're really happy where you're now, you'll not need to forget about it for a while. And what do we do when we want to forget something and distract ourselves? We drink, we use drugs, we binge watch TV shows, we play video games or whatever else to keep your mind busy with anything else but awareness and presence. Now, adult life is pretty tough and we all need a break sometimes. So those distracting behaviors do help, and they're not a problem that they exist. The problem becomes when they are our routine. That's the difference between distracting yourself from your reality and just letting yourself chill for a bit. Those distracting behaviors could be our rewards, and if used well, rewards can be encouraging, entertaining, and a way to show yourself some self-care. If you let your rewards be the majority of your free time when you're outside of work, you're simply avoiding your reality and you're signing up for staying in your stuck situation, because then you don't let yourself any time to actually fix the problem. You just survive through the problem, then you dive into your distraction, sleep a little bit in between, and repeat and repeat and repeat. So from here, we can go to tip number 4. And this is learn to say no. Knowing when to say no is powerful. We're often taught that saying no is bad. If you're a man, saying no usually means that you're weak, you cannot handle the request, you are lazy, you are afraid, you are a loser. If you're a woman, saying no usually means that you're difficult, you don't collaborate, you're too self-centered, you don't care. Those judgments come from gender stereotypes on how men and women are supposed to act. But why am I saying this here is because regardless of your gender, you usually cannot get away with saying no without being criticized in a way from somebody somehow. Well, let's break that shitty pattern and say it loud and clear. Saying no means that you are aware of who you are, what you want and can handle, and you are able to use your critical thinking to make priorities, period. Saying no is often very hard because we just don't want to disappoint or anger others. And when we manage to say no, it is also a sign of bravery. So let's go back to the job example. See, truth is that even if you stay at this job, you are still quitting something. You're quitting your dreams or your beliefs. And those are two different things, right? Having a dream means that you know what else you want to do, right? Having beliefs and values doesn't always mean that you know what you want to do with your life. And most of us usually don't know, or we know sometimes and then we get it lost again. But anyway, having your beliefs and values means that you know a bit about yourself and what's important to you. And this is amazing. So let's say you don't have it all figured out, but you still don't feel a job right. Let's say you are a vegetarian, but you work at a steakhouse. You might be actually making good money, especially if this steakhouse is located in the right area in the USA. And you might be totally lost and uncertain what else you want to do. But you clearly feel terrible about your environment and maybe even bad about yourself because, well, although you're against eating meat, you are indirectly benefiting from meat consumption, as you're definitely getting more tips when people eat more steaks. So see, this is an example where quitting is not weakness or being too dreamy or too impulsive or lazy or whatever else is getting into your head, this is an example of prioritizing your values and beliefs and not quitting on them. Idea number 5, think about the sunk costs. Quitting a stuck situation is sometimes particularly hard because by the time you realize how much it doesn't work for you, or maybe it doesn't work for you anymore because you have changed but the situation is the same and now it is not serving you anymore, well then we sometimes get into the pitfall of sunk cost thinking. Some of you maybe know what sunk costs are, some not, but either way, we often fail to see that we're doing the sunk cost thinking. We forget about it. So let me remind you. Sunk costs are the equivalent of all the time, money, energy, basically resources that you have invested up until now into a current situation to exist the way it does. So let's say you work for a financial company for 5 years now, and you went to school for that. You fought hard to get ahead. You're finally in a comfortable position and you know that there are many career opportunities ahead of you. Well, everything you have done to build this career for yourself over the past 5 years is your sunk costs, meaning a price you paid and you cannot have back. You cannot have your student debt credit erased, for example, because you just don't like your career anymore, or you cannot have your time back, your long nights staying up trying to work and get ahead. No, it is all sunk. It's gone. Now, if you quit, you are likely to think that those 5 years were for nothing. You wasted those resources, so for the sake of your sunk costs, it is more reasonable to stay at this job. And whatever else you want to do, maybe do it on the weekend, or eventually, even sweeter. Convince yourself that this something else that you want to do is just not that important, or you'll never be really good at it, so it's stupid to even try. Well, if you do that, you're likely to get depressed because we spent approximately 80,000 hours working in our adult lives. And well, actually, I think it's much more because this is calculated on the premise that you only work 40 hours a week. This is a lot of hours to spend on something you don't like doing. In fact, there is this company called the 80 Hours. I think it's 80,000 hours, and I'll leave the link in the description. Check it out if you're wondering what career path to choose. No, it's not sponsored. It's just a genuine suggestion. They seem cool. They provide a lot of tools to people that are looking for a new career path, and everything that they do is for free. So now, what happens when somebody doesn't like such a big portion of their life? What happens is that they start to think of ways to avoid their reality, and we already spoke about this. The thing though is that some years down the road, you're going to surely die, and if you have spent a good portion of your life avoiding reality, then at the end of your life, you might either feel a bit relieved because you will finally get to rest from this reality and you have achieved the ultimate escape from your reality, or you will be full of regrets. Now, in behavioral science, we cannot really go and ask people who, for example, have committed suicide, why did they do it? We cannot ask them, were you just excited about your ultimate escape, or you were just full of regrets, right? But when scientists have asked suicidal attempt survivors what made them do it, the general answer, regardless of all the details, is that they were tired, they were fed up, and they just felt demotivated to continue living in their reality, and they were just done waking up to the same reality that were just not making them feel good. And super importantly here, they were not seeing a way to change it, but they only saw a way to escape it. So eventually you might get tired of escaping and you just wanna stop. This is a maybe dark way to tell you in a very extreme way how this can go. But looking at statistics, it is unfortunately our reality as well that people do choose to go that way, and it's just heartbreaking to see how many people go through this torture of escaping or trying to suppress their needs and instead be brave and strong to survive a situation that doesn't work for them, instead of taking that bravery and that strength to change the situation. That is one of the many reasons why this channel exists, actually, because I do want to reach more people who don't feel good where they are right now, and maybe not always give more information, because some of the information I feel, at least, it's very common and it's already available, but to encourage people and remind them, you got this. It is very possible. It's just working with your brain a bit at first, and then everything else follows after that. So back to the feeling stuck situation. Regardless of whether at the end of your years of repeating the same thing, you're gonna feel full of regrets, or you're gonna feel finally just relieved to well die because you're old or whatever else, it doesn't really matter what you feel. It's just wasted time, isn't it? Because you look back and you're not happy about what just happened. Because a life spent avoiding the changes you need to make so that your reality becomes something you truly enjoy is, it's just a wasted opportunity. So all this was said as a reminder to you that 5 years of sunk costs are not as bad as 25 years of sunk costs. And also that although you see those 5 years as a waste now, when you are in the situation and you're thinking of quitting, sometime down the road, you'll probably see how many things you've learned or some people you've met that actually helped you become who you are now and helped you understand what you want to do and how you want to live your life. So it's probably not all wasted after all. Finally, my tip number 6 to get out of your stuck situation. Find positives into whatever is happening and create a plan how to get out of it later on. Because sometimes it's impossible to quit right away. So you need to create your way out. But in the meantime, you also need to stay sane. So finding positives will help with that. So yeah, sometimes quitting a job, it's impossible because you live paycheck to paycheck and getting another job or changing your career will take some time. But during this time, you still need, well, to pay bills, pay for food and water and maybe take care of a child or a partner or a parent. In this situation, you have to look at yourself and ask, what can you do about it? So start working on creating a plan. You cannot stay stuck forever, and we already discussed why. So you have to create a plan that might be a compromise or a complete escape plan, depends on your circumstances. But it is important to have a plan B, where plan A is just staying in this situation forever. Because if you have a plan B, you gain some control back and you get to tell yourself, well, I cannot change it completely or immediately, but at least I can change a part of it. And this is me doing something for me, which means I can still make some difference for myself. Such realization is extremely important. It is empowering. Now, you can do stuff. You have some control once you tell this yourself. And this can really actually help even going through that situation the next day. All right? So if you create a plan, then whatever you're doing right now, let's say working that job you don't like, this is no longer just pointless activity or something just existing for you to pay bills. This is something that supports your plan now. Also, maybe you can look at that job and besides the money, find something positive about it that may help you for getting out of it. For example, are there any colleagues that quit and started a new career? Contact them. If, for example, you are a lawyer and you want to be a musician instead, finding a person who did that transition is the best way to find an answer to the question, how do I get out of this? So look at your environment. There are other people in your situation who have already done something about it. Learn from their experience. You're never alone in how you feel. There are other people out there struggling too. Another positive in your situation might be that you have access to clients. Could those be potentially people that you can contact later on for your own thing, for your other job? Let's say, again, lawyers. Well, they surely must listen to music as well, so some of them might be into your genre. What about creating a mail list and later on inviting them to a place you started playing? If you look for your opportunities, you'll find some, even in the most boring job. And there is nothing to be ashamed of when you try different things, because the people who have succeeded are the people who have tried. So you want to be uncomfortable and stuck forever, or you want to like put yourself out there at the beginning feeling uncomfortable about it and then enjoying the outcomes for years to come? Again, choose your heart. So, all right, that was a bit longer this time, but it is done for today. I hope you learned something, how you feel somehow encouraged to go and try one of those ideas. And most importantly, I truly hope you find the courage to get out of your stuck situation. Life is short. Why not try and enjoy it a bit as well? Hit the follow-up button if you like this content, and I will talk to you next Monday.